Our New Testament reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, titled The Empty Tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still laying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white standing there, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Mark. Let us pray. God, this story, it's hard for us to comprehend, it's hard for us to understand, but you call us to believe it. As we hear it and as we think about what it means for us, open our hearts and minds. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So, yesterday I needed to come to church to do some work here, and I decided to ride my bike. First time I've ridden my bike here this spring, and last year I've tried a few different routes, but I found a route that I really like. So it's a little bumpy, but it's very quiet otherwise, and it works well. So I'm heading along, and I'm riding along Princeton, and all of a sudden I look ahead of me, and I see that the block coming up is blocked off. There's crews there working on removing trees from the storm last week. And so they've got the whole block cordoned off as they clean everything up. And my brain short-circuited for a moment as I'm watching, how can I get through them? That was in my mind. Can I get around the barriers? Is the sidewalk open? How do I go? And of course, the answer is, I need to go around the block. I need to avoid the detour, right? It's not safe. It's not intended for me to be there. But in my head, straight down Princeton is the route I take. And it took me a moment to readjust, to refocus, and realize I had to go around the block. This, of course, is not a unique experience to me. Often we get plans in our head. We have an idea of how something is supposed to go, and then we resist if something changes, or we get upset. Or we don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes we short circuit and we freeze, not sure how to deal with this change that we're facing. Maybe it's travel plans that have been disrupted, a new job or a school program that isn't what we expected, a friendship or a relationship falls apart, An injury or our age changes what we can and cannot do, and we have to adjust. And at first, we don't know what to do, maybe. We had our eyes so focused on what was supposed to happen, we can't see any other path. Problem is, life rarely works out the way we think it's going to. There are always detours. So here's Mary, thinking she understood how things were going to go, thinking she knew what was going to happen to Jesus, and she's at a roadblock. She's stuck. She doesn't know how to leave the tomb. She was supposed to be there preparing Jesus' body for final burial. This was supposed to be her act of love, her opportunity for closure, her chance to say goodbye to those hopes and dreams that she had. And she arrives, and the body's not there. Jesus is gone. How can she do all those things she had to do if there's no body? The disciples come and they go, and they're trying to figure things out, but Mary is stuck at the tomb. She hears a voice from behind her. "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And Mary is so stuck, she doesn't recognize the voice. Actually, that's probably understandable, right? So Mary knows that Jesus has died and the tomb is empty. So either she's at the wrong tomb, which seems unlikely, or someone has taken the body, or is there a third option? If you were in this scenario, could you think of a third option that might happen? Probably not. But the beautiful thing is God's not limited by our understanding of what's possible, by our understanding of what the options are. And so when Jesus speaks to her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Mary assumes he's the gardener. Him being Jesus doesn't fit in with the scenarios that she's got in her head. And so she tries to convince him. She thinks, well, maybe this guy took Jesus. She's closer than she realizes. She says, "If you've got his body, tell me where it is and I'll bring it back." Of course, he does have Jesus' body, just not in the way she thinks. And then he says her name, Mary, probably Miriam, Miriam. And no one says her name like Jesus. And suddenly her eyes are open and she realizes who it is. She says, "Rabboni, teacher." All of a sudden, the path that she thought she was on has exploded. And she probably doesn't even know what's coming next. All she knows is she can't let him go again. So she clings to him. She grabs on to this dear teacher and friend who she thought was gone and is now standing in front of her. She grabs on for dear life, afraid if she lets go, she'll never see him again. And very gently, I imagine, very gently, perhaps Jesus pushes her arms down. He says, "Mary, don't hold on to me. I have not yet returned to the Father." "Mary, I know you're desperately happy to see me, but you can't cling. You can't hold on. God's got a different plan for me. He's got a different plan for you. Let go." For me, that's a very powerful image. Do not hold on to me. Jesus gently pushing Mary away. Because we hold on to things a lot. At least I know I hold on to things a lot. And I think this question that, or this statement that Jesus gives to Mary, gently, kindly, lovingly, he gives to us too. "Meg, don't hold on. And then we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're holding on to that we're not supposed to? What is that plan in our head that we think is supposed to be that way that God wants us to let go of? What is that image of Jesus that we cling to that maybe isn't helpful? What do we need to let go of so Jesus can do his work? Gracious God, you invite us to step out of ourselves, to look for your word rather than our own, for your plan rather than ours. You defied everyone's expectations by the way you came to save the world. We invite you to do the same for us as a congregation and as individuals. May we seek your will first and foremost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.